of our is affected, it must then be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a God that does harm, because there's no other way to explain what is taking place. And that can be, because we do have a emunah that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not behave in such a manner. So now we in the Maul Bum are up to Hashem's response. Hashem's response begins on the next page. Haloi Divarai, page 469. Hashem responds, Haloi, the answer is, Divarai Yetivu im Hayashar Holech. Hashem answers, Matis Leininu al Divarai. Why are you coming to complain? Shehem Divarim Ra'im Ubavaser Pur Onios. Why the Navi, it seems that the Navi is coming, why are you, Hashem is responding, why are you complaining of my words, which are words of evil and announces Pur Onios? I guess the words of the Navi that are the words of the Navi which represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Haloi. Someone who is a tzaddik, Hashem is good to. Ve'enam divarim ro'im, rak yismach aleihem. He rejoices. Ve'heim loy divrei nichumim shedivrei hanavua miidim shehashem mashkiach al maasei bnei adam l'shalim l'ishpo loy. So the words of the Navi, this is an incredible idea. The words of the Navi that speak harm, that predict gloom and doom to a tzaddik, is a very reassuring or very satisfying statement, because it goes to confirm that there is order in this world. There is accountability. There is justice. So it's amazing when the Navi gets up, the Navi says that the evildoers will be severely punished. Tzaddikim have great pleasure in hearing that there is going to be gloom and doom, because they have been vindicated, that there indeed is justice in this world. It's easy for them to say, because they're not the ones getting expecting to get the punishment.
But you don't mean Schadenfreude, you don't mean it like that.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Rejoicing in the suffering.
No, of course not. That's exactly the point. It's very delicate. They're just happy that the Navi is reporting that indeed there is something called the Mishpat. And they just hope that they're not going to be subject to that Mishpat, but you live a life of being oimed in the Sionis, and you make the right decision at great expense, at great pain, you feel, was it really worth it? And then when the Navi says the people who have been in violation, who have not withstood the test, these tests indeed will be punished, and to a degree there's a certain satisfaction that you're justified, you've been vindicated. V'hayashar hoylech yismach b'zeh, the one that goes in the ways of Yashus rejoices, ki al yidei zeh yikaveh mi'Hashem tzedakah v'chesed al pi poloi, a person he hopes from Hashem for tzedakah and chesed according to his deeds, ki inyan simcha la tzadik asayis mishpat, a tzadik has joy when he does mishpat. Okay, pretty much, it's saying it's very, very straightforward. The end of the pasuk, according to the Malbim, is very straightforward. The main chidushim was the first part of the pasuk. Yeah.
By the way, the entire style is Sheilot. From the part of He Amur, Hakatzaru Hashem, Emele Malalav.
Everything is a He Amur.
The ends of the question. Ha'im lo. Halo, Dvarai, Yetibun, Ma'ashar Olech.
So a rhetorical question. Rhetorical question.
Right. Same thing.
Rhetorical question. The Jewish way is, it's used in a way more of a derogatory, right? That's like one of the stereotypes of a Jew, is you answer a question with a question. And I don't appreciate that.
Why not? What?
Why not? Okay, it's one of the stereotypes of a Jew. And by the Goyim, when they make this observation, it's derogatory. It's why are you crooked? I ask you a question, give me an answer. What? It's viewed by the Umayyad Olam and even amongst Jews themselves. I ask you a question, I want an answer. I find it to be a chutzpah for you ask someone a question, and the way they answer me is they ask me a question. They answer a question with another question.
It's defensive.
Right. So if you're a Rebbe and a teacher, if the your relationship is Hashem and Klal Yisrael, okay, then that's a different type of environment, a Rebbe and a Talmud. But when you go into the bank and the teller behind the counter asks you a question, it's not Derech Eretz to answer her back with a question. She asks you, you want to make a deposit in your savings account or in your checking account? So you answer back, well, what would you want to do? It's unfortunate that it has become part of our blood. It's very interesting that Jews have a certain tendency to do certain things. And maybe you'll argue it's rooted in the fact that Jews are people of the book, and in the form of study of a Rebbe, the Talmud, it's very common. That is how the give and take. It crept into our conversation, which is not proper, which is not min hanimus, it's not the proper code of conduct when you deal with other people, certainly when you deal with non-Jews. But unfortunately, it's become so much part of our way of thinking to answer a question with a question that it slips. It slips more than we would like. And Rav Kalman is saying very, very good here.
The style.
The
question, isn't it?
Is very poetic. Everything about Micha you see represents poetry. Exactly. Okay, so this concludes the Malbim. We've gone through a lot of very fascinating things. Let us take a look over here at one. Let's take a look at one word, one Maimar Chazal. Okay, and then also we'll take a quick look at the Chumash Sanach. The Maimar Chazal, Pasuk Zayin, the very bottom, page 467. Haloi Devaray Yetivu Im Hayosholoch Kisase Hayoshar Beinei Hashem. We did this pasuk already in the. I'm sorry. Okay, we did it already. And Chumash Sanach, very short, says Perish Rashi Zal. The Chumash Sanach, the Chidah, page 467. Hazoy Samu Beis Yaakov Kishashem Es Harasher Niviyai Misnam Lohem V'Yesh Misha Perish Helmur Beis Yaakov Perush HaKorui Beis Yaakov, those that are called Beis Yaakov V'Hu L'Shoin Kuriya. I'm not sure what he means. Perush HaKorui Beis Yaakov V'Hu L'Shoin Kuriya, calling out. Same idea. Okay, it's the same idea. Is either maybe not.
Maybe it's like the leaders
of the people, Helmur Beis Yaakov. Rashi says this is a statement that is made by the Jewish people. Is it proper for the Jewish people to say this? And the Chidah says, V'yesh Misha Perash, Ibn Ezra, go to Ibn Ezra on the top of the page. Helmur Hadavar Hu Zeh, it's a statement, a rhetorical question. Is it proper? Atem Beis Yaakov, the Rebbe Yeshua Omar, Kilu Kosov Shema Ata, listen you HaKorui Beis Yaakov. Ha'amur, okay, I understand. So, Ha'amur Beis Yaakov, Hashem is addressing Klal Yisrael. Those people who are called Beis Yaakov, I want to say something to you. I want to respond to you. Hakotzar Ruach Hashem. Let's go further. We'll be saying over here in a whole new idea. Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Kilo Akosov, Shema Ata. Listen, you people. Hakorui Beis Yaakov. Uvalvor Ha'alav Shumi Oisios Hagoroin Tavoy Ha'hei. Why then is there a Hei or more? It's not a question. Because since there is an Aleph, are they strong or are they weak? Okay, let's go further. Hakotzar ruach Hashem hi hanavua v'tam haloi le'olam ruach Hashem tedaber emes. Ki lama yas Hashem ra. Okay, next we'll explain in one moment. Next words are im ilam alalav v'chi min hagoy la'asoyis ra libu yosaf al chinam. So basically, according to the Ibn Ezra, it appears that the third interpretation of this pasuk, this is not a quotation from the Jewish people. This is purely Hashem's statement. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, is there something I cannot do? Similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Hayad Hashem Tiksar. HaKotzar Ruach Hashem, do you really think, Hashem, do you really think that I am limited? Im Elam Alolov, do you think, and again, he reads those words, how do you read those words when we're talking about the topic of the trades? Do you really think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to harm you? It's a rhetorical statement made by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Do you think I'm limited? Do you really think that it's my desire to bring harm upon you? That is ridiculous. I have no desire to harm you. I'm not limited. There's nothing that I cannot do for you. And therefore, just behave yourself. Be good people. If you will be good people, then I will do good to you. Okay, so and therefore, what is forcing Ibn Ezra to learn Pshat and the Pasuk like this? Because he learns, the word Helmor means, the people that in the eyes of the world are called Beis Yaakov. Now, someone here asked the question yesterday. This answers your question. Whoever asked this question, I remember who asked this question. Why here is Klal Yisrael called Beis Yaakov? And someone gave the answer because he wanted to refer to the week. Noshem. Koy soymar lebeis Yaakov v'sageid levnei Yisrael. So someone who wanted to try to play with the idea, why here is it called Beis Yaakov? Why are we not called the Bnei Yisrael or just simply Yaakov or Bnei Yaakov? So the answer brings out a very big chiddush, is that in the eyes of the world, we are not called Bnei Yaakov, we are called Beis Yaakov. Or maybe in the eyes of Hashem, we're called Beis Yaakov. We have to understand, it's a very good question, the one who asked this question yesterday, why is that sometimes we're called Bnei Yaakov, or Bnei Yisrael, or Yeshurun? Here, it's really very unique. We're called here Beis Yaakov. And the answer is why, the reason why we're shifting is because here it says the word He'amor. Those people who are called by someone or something Beis Yaakov, let me respond to you. I'm addressing those people who are known as the Beis Yaakov. Who are you truly? We are truly, maybe, I'm just thinking out loud, we are truly Bnei Yisrael. We are truly Bnei Yaakov. We may be truly Yeshurun. But in the eyes of someone out there, they don't look at us in that fashion. They view us with the term Beis Yaakov. The Gemara says that a person has three names. Every person truly has three names. The name that your parents give you, the name that you're known by your friends, and the name you make for yourself. You make for yourself. It's a very beautiful medrash. Three different names. Where do you find an example of this in Tanakh? Yehoshua. Yoshua was called Hoshea bin Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu called him Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu did not associate Yehoshua, Hoshea, as Hoshea. He did not associate him as Hoshea, the son of Nun. The father he forgot about, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu Vayikra Moshe LeHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. And what does Yeshua call himself? He calls himself Yehoshua bin Nun. Again, in Tanakh, we find Yehoshua being called by three different names. Hoshea bin Nun. Hoshea, the son of this fellow Nun. Moshe Rabbeinu did not call him by his father's name. Vayikra Moshe lo Hoshea. He changed his name from Hoshea to Yehoshua, and also forgot about Nun. But by Yikra Moshe, to the person that was known as Hoshea bin Nun, Yehoshua. Why did Moshe say, by Yikra Moshe, Hoshea bin Nun, Yehoshua bin Nun? No. By Yikra Moshe, Hoshea bin Nun, Yehoshua. Oh, my tata, I'm a bin Nun. No. By me, I know you as one person. Yeh, a new person, a naya mensch, Yeh Hoshua.
That fits in with the Abrahamic, that he says, Yeh Hoshua, the one who sits by Yehoshua, Moshe, and Shev, and Yeh Hoshua. He says, Moshe, always, how come before that you didn't call him Yehoshua, the Chumash, long before he changed his name officially? So how come now? He says, Moshe always called him Yehoshua. That was what he called him. So now he officially made a name change. Till now, he was still Yahushua ben Nun, except that Moshe called him Yahushua.
Right,
now,
right.
Officially, he gave him the name change.
Right, right, official. Right.
No, but it fits in with what you just said, because he was known to other people as Yahushua, even though his name was so changed.
But then, what happened at the end? At the end, we find in Tanachi, Yahushua refers to the Pasuk one more time, I think in Chumash, at the end of Chumash, it calls him Yehoshua ben Nun. What's the pshat? That's the name he made for himself. That we want to go elaborate, because does a person connect to his forefathers? Does he always take pride in where he comes from? Originally, Hayashia ben Nun. Moshe looked at him as a new man, a naya man, she had no shaychus to his father. No, Yehoshua took what Moshe Rabbeinu did for him, but went further and said, but connect me also to the legacy of my father, Yehoshua ben Nun. Three names. Now, that idea, that's an idea in Chumash, but that idea, according to the Ibn Ezra, is also being alluded to over here. Because we have always throughout Tanakh, Yisrael, Yaakov, Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, Yeshurun. Here, it's someone really asked a very tough question. Over here, it's very disturbing. Why is there a shift? Why do we refer to Klal Yisrael as Beis Yaakov? Well, the Pasuk is addressing that. The Pasuk is saying it's not, you don't call yourself Beis Yaakov. You, or maybe, I don't know who the Ha'amor is. But the Pasuk adds in this one word, Ha'amor, which the Ibn Ezra says, the people who are known from the outside by others as Beis Yaakov. You may view yourself as Bnei Yaakov, which maybe is more of a term of endearment, a more of a term of connecting to your father as children, but in the eyes of the world, you're known as the Beis Yaakov. Now, is that a step down, or is that a step up, or is that we're phonies? We put on a show, we're charlatans, and we present ourselves as being who we're not. It's all subject to interpretation, and it's certainly there's elements of everything true. And who says the word hell more refers to the way we are viewed in the eyes of the world? Maybe the word Ha'amor refers to the way we're viewed in the eyes of Hashem. Or maybe it means the way we look at ourselves, not the ones who we truly are. But it does give it a different perspective. And by doing that, by changing it to Ha'amor, then the words, the next words of the Pasuk HaKotzar, Ruach Hashem in Ilem Alalav, are the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam are saying to Klal Yisrael, I'm not limited. Hashem is speaking. Do you think I'm really limited? Do you really think I enjoy punishing you, bringing upon you suffering? You think this is who I really am? You think this is who I really am? That's not the way I really am. That's not who I am. I think now it comes full cycle. Because just like Hashem over here is saying, what you see is not the real thing. You see me behaving in a way that's not really who I am. You see suffering. But that's not who I am. That's not what I want to do. In this particular instance, I have no choice but to punish you. Likewise, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Klal Yisrael, he's not referring to their essence and calling them Bnei Yaakov. Hashem is saying, you who are known from the outside, Beis Yaakov. Is that really who you are? No. So too, what you see happening and you see me punishing and bringing suffering upon the world, that's not who I am. That's just a false perception. See, Hashem is playing with Klal Yisrael by calling them Beis Yaakov in order that they should understand that what's happening to them is not truly Hashem's essence. Just like the world calls you Beis Yaakov, But that's not really who you are. You really are B'nei Yaakov. Likewise, when you see me bring upon this world suffering, that's not really who I am. That's not really me. That's a false perception. Who am I really? I'm really a God that's Yetiv, that does good. So it's really, I think it's really very beautiful. According to the Maal, according to the Ibn Ezra, the end of the pasuk fits very well with the beginning of the pasuk in this, that there was a change, a shift from being called the base from the, what we should be called, the B'nei Yaakov, to the base Yaakov. Yeah.
Wouldn't the base house be considered at the minute of term like the house of whatever, like a clan, different clan? So it'd be much smaller.
Yes, if you're correct, then exactly the point. The world does not appreciate the greatness of Klal Yisrael. We are great, and they try to diminish our greatness. So if our greatness is termed with the words B'nei Yaakov, why that would be a term, that's another topic of discussion, why that would be called a cult of greatness. So when the Umay Sa'olam say to us, you're not B'nei Yaakov, you're Beis Yaakov. It's a step down, it's an insult. They do not see our greatness. Just like the nations of the world do not see your greatness, you, Klal Yisrael, do not see my greatness. You see things that you really do not understand, you don't appreciate. I'm not trying to harm you. It's only a necessity in this instance why I have to cause you to suffer temporarily.
He calls Beit HaMikdash Beit Elohim. It's the same kind of thing.
Because it's a simsum. Very nice.
In comparison to how
excellent. If Colin is saying incredible,
so it's degree down, actually.
For Evan has Zisha Samti Matsiva, he a base Elohim. Simsum.
Simsum.
Wow, fascinating. The Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite. It's infinite. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rests his presence on this world. How could that possibly be? Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allows himself to he makes believe that he's small, because Hashem is truly, truly infinite. Tzimtzum. Very, very good. Very. That's why it's called the base looking. It's a very good part. Okay, let's now go. Am I clear? Question? Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches begins to say, 468. The es mul. Now we would think it would say the es smol. Okay. The word over here means yesterday. For some reason, the grammatical form here is the es mul. I don't know why. Let's see. Ami lo yev yikoymeim. My nation became an enemy. Mimul salma. Eder taf shitun, opposite a salma normally means a cloak. Okay, salma, there are two words which mean the same thing. There's simla and salma. One of the few words in the Tanakh where the letters can be interchanged, like keves and kesev.
Those might be two different
types of animals. I don't know if you remember the one who puts out the Torah mat, the Why You Matter. What you did, Hurtenfeld. Why I Matter. You did Hurtenfeld. So he once told that he asked Rabelsky was the genius of geniuses of this generation, and he asked him, what's the difference between keves and kesev? So he told him, he doesn't know. Rabelsky said, I don't know the difference. And then he showed him years later. He came across something that really explains the difference. I totally forgot what he told me. He said he found something that explains that. And you look in Tanakh, and you look very carefully, he had an answer, and it fits perfectly with every time it says keves and kesev. And he told Rebelsky, and he was very appreciative to him. Every time he saw him, that you taught me this difference, even though the Torah is to the average person, there's no difference. There's a salma and a simla. What's the difference? There is a difference. I don't know what it is. And there's a keves and there's a kesev. In English, it's exactly the same. But there is a difference. Here we use over here this word that the Salma turned into an eder, tafshitun. The word eder is an expensive garment. Okay, and a Salma is a cheap garment, and an eder, tafshitun. We'll read the mitzvahs inside in a moment. May oivrim betach, from those that passed through with security, shuvei milchama, from those that returned from the war. Now, what does that mean exactly? It means that in the past, based on the past, we were very successful. Let's see. Mitzudos David Pasukas, on page 469 on the bottom. V'yasmul liyami aval, ami ze yoyim esmol. Ritzon olemar. Loyavru adayin yamim rabim v'loy tuchlu imkein lachachish hadavar asher heim. It's only been a short time. And you're not able to deny the matter. You cannot deny the fact that in the past you have been very successful. There has not been enough time in history for someone to become a Holocaust denier. Okay, when did the Holocaust deniers rise up for the first time? It took a few decades. You never heard. There was such thing as Holocaust deniers until. Probably 30, 40 years later. Was there such a thing as Holocaust deniers in the 50s and the 60s? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not, but they first began to hear about such a thing. I remember it must have been in the late 80s. He was in the 90s. He was in the 90s. He himself was a Nazi. He knew good and well, a total liar. This thing first began. I remember when I was in elementary school, and I remember our teacher telling us in English, telling us, "Would you believe?" I remember clearly, such liars out there in the world. Could it possibly be there are people out there that deny the Holocaust happened? We grew up, Holocaust, all the survivors, and he said there are people out there in the world that go around saying that the Holocaust never happened. It's one big lie. And I remember at that time, he told us about a court case. There was already a court case where there were many court cases about people who have been sued for libel who claim the Holocaust never happened, and they lost. And that's when this news was, it was the news, and he was teaching us about this. So that must have been in the 90s. Okay, in the 90s. So let's say I woke up late, so let's say it really happened in the 80s already. Okay, it happened already in the 80s. But it did not happen in the 50s. Mistama, there's not enough time to pass. It's exactly what it's saying over here.
It existed, but I
don't think it was publicized until something like Matthew Cannon. So that's exactly what the Pasuk is saying. It's only the miracles that you have experienced happened yesterday. It's too early for you to become deniers. That's Hashem's Musa. The Asmul, it was only yesterday when Ami Le'oyev Yekoimim that my nation was able to stand up and obliterate her enemies. Mimul Salma Eder Tavshitun. Further in Rashi, Mimul Salma, what was it again? It has not even been a few yom rabim. You cannot deny the fact that each man in the Jewish people was successful in rising up against his enemy and destroying him. Mimul Salma, written loymar, imtiru milovush Salma chadasha, tamdu mimul asalma loses bo einechem. If someone is wearing a new garment, stand opposite the new garment to look at it. V'saf shitun mimenu es asimla hachashuva, and grab it away. Me oivrim betach min hoanoshim oivrim betach tahavchu la soisam shuvei milchama. What does that mean? Ki tigzulu kol asher lohem, you stole all that was to them. Ki ilu baruchu, they fled. V'shavu min hamulchama, v'nichu hakol lohakel me'alechem hamasa. The people, you were so successful in battle that it's as if the people took off their garments, they took off their clothing, they handed you the spoils of war because they were thoroughly defeated. Okay, let's try to read those words one more time. Mimul hasimla, tam du mimul hasimla, lo seis bayaynechem. Okay, stand opposite a man who is wearing a new garment. Visav shitun mimenu es hasimla hachashuva. Grab from him his beautiful garment. Me oivrim betach. Min ho anoshim ho oivrim betach. From the people in the past that were secure and powerful, tahabchu la'asoysam, you have transformed them. You have been so victorious that these people have fled the battlefield. Tahabchu la'asoysam, you have transformed them. Shuvei mulchama, ki tigzalu. Now, it's as if you have stolen kol asher lohem, every possession that your enemy has. Ki'ilu baruchu, your enemies have fled from the battlefield. V'shavu min ha'mulchama, and as they fled, they said, listen, we can't carry back our weapons, our possessions, our assets, so you know what, you can have it. You can have it because we just don't have the strength to carry it back. You come to the battlefield, the enemy presents itself as being powerful and mighty and is about to obliterate you, and then what happens? Your enemy is weakened to such a degree that Nebuchs, they flee the battlefield, and as they flee, they abandon all of their assets, and they say to you, you could have it, it's all for yours to keep. Now read the pasuk one more time. The esmul, it was only yesterday, Ami, my nation, le'oyev yikoymein, would rise up against their enemies to succeed and to prevail. And the success was so great, Mimul Salma Eder Tafshitun. It's a hard word to translate, but the way the Mitzvah translates is you would stand opposite an individual that was decorated with beautiful clothing, a Salma and Eder, and Tafshitun. You would strip them naked. They would take off their beautiful clothing and they would give it to you. They would give it, hand it to you. From people that in the past, that only moments ago, came in front of you, they were passing through to go to war against you in a state of security. But now, they have been humiliated and humbled to a degree where they are shuvei milchama, they're fleeing in battle, and thus, they are allowing themselves. They are defeated, and they're willingly giving to you their assets. If you'd probably rearrange the words of the pasuk, it would be a lot easier to read. If you would say the esmulu was only yes, and we would read, we would jump to the end of the pasuk. Only yesterday did my people rise up against their enemies, me'oivrim betach, from enemies that were passing through with gaiva and security, but miraculously, Shuvei milchama, they were defeated, and they ran back home. And as they ran away from the battlefield, Salma Eder Tafshitun, they released, they undressed from their beautiful clothing, and they gave it to you. Okay, so according to the Mitzudos, it's much, much easier, as we always try to do, is to take the words and to change the order of the words, and it makes the pasuk read much easier. Rashi pasuk has yes malami lo yikoymeim hamikra mukhuba l'shel ma'ila himenu. This pasuk has, according to Rashi, according to Mitzvos as well, is all a continuation. Hashem says, "What are you complaining to me about? I have been so good to you. Look, only yesterday, look at the miracles that I've done for you. How come you're in such denial?" Okay. No good deed goes unpunished. I know someone that is such a good person. You think good people, this fellow, he really needs therapy. I met him on the street and we were talking about, he was angry at me a little bit because I have a friend who needs a lot of help. He really needs help. He needs help. So I asked him if he could help him, if he could talk to him. And he did. And I met him yesterday, and he followed up what happened. And he basically says to me, "Do you know how thin I'm spread? Do you know how many cases I'm dealing with? How many and like you just put upon me, you send me this guy, another guy, and I'm going out of my mind. I'm literally going out of my mind with all of these people who call me, and they need help, and they need someone to listen to them, and to talk to them, and to, you know, just to listen to, and help get through. And I see as he's telling me things, it really affects him. It really, this fellow, the reason why I suggested, because I don't know anyone like him. He's such a good person. He's the only one that can really help these people. But just like I think like that, everyone else thinks like that. So he's swamped. He's swamped. But it's not usually swamped by time. I see it really, really gets to him. It really affects him. The tzaris of other people, when you listen the whole day to other people's tzaris, it really, really has an effect on them. No one's makan a rebbe. All right, carefully talks about what do rebbes do the whole day? What do they do? What do all the rebbes do? All the biggest rebbes, the Babava rebbes and the Satmar rebbes and the Klezer, all you go all. What do they do? You know, they do the whole day. 90% of the day, they listen to people's tzaras. That's what they do the whole day. That's what they do the whole day. The whole day, they line up to tell them. People come and tell them their tzaras. And what, could the rebbe do anything for them? No. 99% of the time, the rebbes cannot do anything for these people. The only thing you can do is to listen. You listen. You listen to the tzaris. So people feel that he's a holy person. So by saying over your tzaris, so it's therapeutic. Are you mekana these people? Are you mekana these people? Rav Shiskal, you know, Rav Shiskal, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law, he died very, very young. He was our neighbor. I was very, very little then. He lived directly across the door on the Lower East Side from where I lived. He was an incredible tzaddik, an unusual tzaddik. And he was very compassionate. And he became like a rebbe. And people used to come to him and just tell them their tzaras. And he would say, it could be, he told my mother, I'm going to die from this. What people are doing to me is literally going to kill me, because he was such a good person. He took it to heart, all of these things. And you know, Taki died very, very young, very, very young. It's very, very tragic. And he would say, "I'm going to die from this." People, they told him the whole day that's ours. Here in this pasuk, Hashem says, "It's only been yesterday." The Asmul Amil Oy Rashi says, "We're going back to the previous pasuk discusses." Hashem says, "What are you blaming me? What are you complaining to me again about? Are you in denial of all the good things that I've done for you?" The Asmul Amil Oy Yevikamim Rashi Hamikra Amuchubel Mashal Malah Menu Ani Toiv Umetiv Ani. Right, we say that in benching. We say in benching, the whole benching is about who hative, we say the three different expressions of hatava. And the third and the last, the fourth bracha is about hatoiv vehametiv. Ani toiv umetiv ani, v'yes hadavar asher lumuloi uvavuroi ami ois. So here he's giving us an entire Hashem over here is giving us an entirely different interpretation. Look over here. What he explains over here is this, that I have been good, what I've done good, you're using as ammunition to be my enemy. One more time the words. Ani toivu meitif. Ani. V'yes hadavar asher lumuloi uvavuroi ami osi, this that is lumuloi, opposite lumuloi, opposite you uvavuro, and for your sake ami, my nation osi against me, yikoimeim, rises up l'oyev lo, to be an enemy to him. Okay, the words are a little vague. Over here on the side, the Sif Seis game just says that this is the end of a Dibur Maslow. Read of Avurayu who has Soif HaDibur. So he's trying over here to make sense. The words over here are obviously very cryptic. So the Sif Seis Zekeinim says the word Avuro is where you should put a dot. The Achar Kach Maschil HaDibur Ami Osi. Now, what does that mean? Ritzon Eloimar HaDavor Hora ba Bavuroi Shechota. The reason why you suffer is because you have sinned. The Ami Oimrim, but my nation says, Shani I Oyev Lohem. The Einoi Kain. Eleheim Garmul Yatzmam the Kal Lehovin. Maybe for him, not for me. The Kal Lehovin. What? So in other words,
I try to do the best for you, but because of what you've done, now you consider me the enemy.
You're enemy. So let's read the Rashi again according to the Sifas Dechem. According to the Sifas Dechem, you have to put a period. A period afterward of Avurah. His words are, HaMikra Mechubo L'shal Ma'ala Hemenu. It's a connection to the previous Pasuk. Ani Toiv Umetiv Ani, Kama. I am a good God. Don't dare say, Rashi learned that the previous Pasuk was a statement of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is saying, are these your deeds, Hashem? Hashem, it must be that you're limited. If these, according to Rashi, Rashi learned that it was one statement. If these are your actions, then there's no other way to understand to understand what is taking place other than to say that you, Hashem, are limited. Hakitzar ruach. You're limited in your ability to carry out what you want. So Hashem says, that's ridiculous. How dare you say that? Do you think, ani toivu meitivani, v'yes hadavar lumuloi uvavuroi, and what I'm doing to you, all of the events that are transpiring are all for your benefit. The matter that is lumuloi, that is happening opposite you, uvavuro, it is for your good. You are being punished for your benefit. But what, period. Now, according to the Sifzei Zekanim, we put here a hard break. And then the next words are, but it's a chaval, it's a sad fact that my nation does not understand that. They do not understand that the punishment is for their benefit. And instead, what do? They call the police. They say, Ami osi yikoimeim lo'oyev lo. They claim that Hashem is our enemy. Okay, so he breaks up this Rashi into two parts. I'm a good God. It was only yesterday I did for you amazing miracles. Now you're misbehaving, so I have no choice but to punish you. And yet, you don't want to see the big picture. You don't want to see that I'm not limited. I'm only trying to help you. I'm trying to be good to you. And you use the events that are happening to you today as independent of who you are. And you make this false accusation that I am your enemy.
Don't you see that in Eichud? Hashem set us up as a target for his arrows?
Yes. All different types of ways of saying the same idea. The same type of idea. Now, if not for the Sifzei Zekanim, I would think that really it's one continuous statement. Now I think it's like basically saying the idea that no good deed goes unpunished. Okay? So then you would say, Anita Beitivani, Vyasadova Shah Lumuloi Uvavuroi, all of the good things that I've done for you, all of the good things you use as an excuse to say that I am your enemy. In other words, because what I'm trying to say is, according to Rashi, the way the Sifzei Zekanim explains the words Ami lo'oyev yikoimeim have nothing to do with the next words Mimul Salmo Eder Tavshitun. It's going back on punishment. Hashem is severely punishing Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is bitter. And what do they say to Hashem? You are our enemy. You are the esmul. Now, how did he translate the word esmul? The esmul, then.
It's a statement by itself.
Maybe that's why it's not. Maybe that's.
It says, in comparison to what I just said to you,
or maybe what it means. Or maybe.
By itself. Yeah, but against the Zevah Ha'ibur, Amar Vav Amar Pechet. Said, Aval. against what happened here.
Okay.
What we're supposed to, Ami le'oyev yekomem.
Or maybe
my
what
nation makes me as a oyev.
Okay, okay. But what's the word
what I said before?
So you want it, so you are, now I'm sort of, I don't understand what you're saying. So Rav Kalman is saying something very important. When we started with the Mitzvah Stavit, we translated the word via smul to mean yesterday. It has only been yesterday, that I've done for you miracles. I allowed you to prevail over your enemy. Here, Rashi thoroughly disagrees with that. Rashi says that the subject of the word Ami L'Oyev Yekomei means that you, the Jewish people, are rising up against me, Hashem, and claiming that I, Hashem, are your enemy. Thus, the word V'yasmul means I, who stand opposite you. The word V'yasmul, according to Rashi, does not mean yesterday. It means opposite. Mul.
Look at the
Tamim. Mul. V'yasmul. Not V'yasmul.
V'yasmul. It's by itself.
Okay. The small means what is opposite. Comma.
Opposite to what I said before, my nation makes me as an enemy.
Wait, say that again. The small.
Opposite to what I said before. That
in contrast
friend,
to what I said before.
I'm your friend, actually.
I'm your friend.
Me makes me mekimim oti le'oyev. They make me as if I am their enemy.
So you're translating the word viasmul means it's really the opposite. It's the opposite. The word viasmul. So the word viasmul. One thing we have to clarify. According to Rashi, it's clear as day. The word viasmul, at least in your interpretation, I want to say something different in a moment. But in your interpretation, viasmul does not mean yesterday. And that answers the question of why he does not say the esmol. The ordinary form of the word yesterday means esmol, with a cholam, not a shurak. Here it says, but yet, we cannot deny that the Mitzudah started, he says it's not a big deal, in yonai kamo esmol b'cholam. Look at the Mitzudah siyai. And that is why when we learned the Mitzudah David, the translation of the pasuk means that you're deniers, you're Holocaust deniers. It was only yesterday that I have done for you the greatest miracles. What were the great miracles? I gave you the power to defeat your enemies. Rashi says, you don't know what you're talking about. We're not discussing your successes. We're not discussing yesterday. The word v'esmul does not mean yesterday. V'esmul means, it says, does not say mul, mul. Mul means literally the opposite. And Rav Kalman is explaining, you, the Jewish people, you claim, I'm telling you, I love you. I love you. I'm doing good for you. What did I say in the last pasuk? Haloi divarayetivu. I'm a God that does only good. Im hayosha be'enav. But v'yasmul, 180 degrees of what I say is what you say. You say, Ami lo yev yekomeim. My nation says that Hashem is our enemy. I'm telling you, I'm your best friend. And I love you. And I'm trying to do good to you. And this that you're suffering, there's a reason why you're suffering. But the small, in contrast to what I say, you go to the other extreme, 180 degrees. Mul means the opposite. And you make this absurd, horrible accusation that Hashem is your enemy. Beautiful. That's how you're learning Pshat about V'yasmul Milayev. Ha-mikra mechubel l'shalmaylo heimena. This, the word V'yasmul means in contrast to what you say, I'm telling you the opposite. You're the opposite. I, in the past pasuk, I told you, ani toivu meitiv ani. But V'yasadover asher lumuloi. We're not learning like this. This is the Canaan now. Again, forget about this is the Canaan. But uva dovar hazeh asher lemuloi uva avuroi. But this matter, which is lemuloi uva avuroi. So let's learn not like Rashi. Yom Shat. I don't think Yom Shat is what Rashi is saying, if you want to break it up. You're saying Yom Shat. Yom Shat is a very beautiful Shat. I don't think it's what Rashi says, but it fits very well into the pasuk, beautiful way. Rashi seems he's saying something, but the Hadover Hazesha Lubulo Vyaguro, Ami Oisi Yikoimeim Looyev Loy. Okay, Rav Kalman said his Pshat. This is delicious.
There's two others on the page that say
connect. Everyone says connect. But the question over here is, how is the word connect being used in this pasuk? So Rav Kalman is saying the word connect means it's a matter of opinion. It's a matter of perspective. You have a trial. You have the defendant and you have the prosecutor. Each one is saying the complete opposite. Hashem says, I love you. V'yesumul. In contrast to what the eye say and the other side of the fence, the other side of the aisle, my nation says that I hate them. Rashi appears not to say that. It appears that Rashi says the word v'yesumul does not mean yesterday. V'yesumul means your observation of what is happening in this world. You're sitting here and you're watching the news and you see horrible things. There are things that are happening in this world that are opposite you. The esmul, the events that are in front of you, horrify you. And how do you interpret those events? You make a statement. It's similar to what you're saying, but Rashi is using the word a little bit, the same translation of the word, but the way he's using the word, the esmul, is in reference to the events that are unfolding in front of our eyes. Now, I want to give you another interpretation called the Beichsvar. You know what a Beichsvar is? What comes out of your Beichel. Okay, after you have a Danish for breakfast, you say a Beichsvar. I want to say that the Esmul, like the Mitzudos David, he says the Feirush means, it means yesterday, from time immemorial. That's how you translate the word the Esmul. You've always, it's nothing new what you're doing today. This is nothing new. In Mitzrayim, you said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you coming making trouble for us?
That's sort of what the
Ebenezer said. Okay, I'm sure one of them from Moshe says like this. The Esmul is yesterday. From time immemorial, you've always been saying the Zel Bazach. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Ami lo yev yikoimeim. Okay, so far we have already 4 perushim so far. The Mitzudas David starts off by saying the subject of lo yev yikoimeim means your victories. The Jewish people are not hyphen. That it's only yesterday that you were victorious. You know I'm in charge. You forgot already what happened only yesterday, 24 hours ago, you forgot what happened. The Esmul. Ami, my nation, la'oyev, yikoimeim. They rose up against their enemies and defeated them, obliterated them. And the pasuk goes on to say, your defeat was so thorough, it was as if your enemy handed over to you their clothing on the battlefield. They took off their weapons, they took off their wallets, their credit cards. Have it all! Take it all! It's all yours. That's Rashi. Only yesterday. Then comes along Rashi, according to who? According to the Sifsei Zekanim. According to the Sifsei Zekanim, it says that Hadavar Hara Ba Ba'avuroi V'yasmul Shechata. So he learns, Hashem is good. V'yas Hadavar Asher Lumuloi Uva'avuro. Period. He translates the word limuloi v'yasmul also to mean opposite you, but it means punishment. This that is now coming upon you to punish you, to bring punishment upon you, and me, this that I'm doing to you, which truly is a blessing, v'yasmul, the matter, hadavar asher lumuloi uva avuroi, the matter that I'm doing towards you. Lumuloi, according to Rashi, the word viasmul means the matter that is coming towards you. That's coming for your sake. It's for your benefit. I am I am bringing this punishment upon you. What do? You do it and you say, no, Hashem, you are our enemy. No good deed goes unpunished. Rav Kalman is saying, they're small. In contrast to what I've said in the previous pasuk, that I'm a good God, in contrast, you say that I'm an evil God and I'm your enemy. It's not referring to any event. The word, according to you, Rav Kalman's interpretation, the word viasmul means your perspective. We're not discussing an event. We're not discussing suffering. We're not discussing an observation. I, Hashem, I say I'm good to you. Viasmul. But kineged, opposite my statement, my attitude, you disagree. You say that I am your enemy. Rashi, according to the Sifas Akedim, and according to the other way you want to learn, just means not, you know, you can put the words together without the Sifas Akedim, but they're very similar. It means this, that you observe opposite your eyes this suffering, this punishment, you use as an excuse to say that Hashem is our enemy, when in truth that's not so. Hashem is your greatest friend. That's so simple. Kind of no, that's not going to be so simple now, according to Rashi. Thing. Right, because the word, it's a play on the words. That's like, Micha has done this already so many times. He's always trying to be consistent in using the same word, but as a means of poetry. But by doing, but the meaning of the word in the beginning of the pasuk, the end of the pasuk is not always necessarily the same. We had this consistently from the beginning of the Sefer. Lashon noifel al halashon. He's playing with the language, but it does not necessarily mean the same. But as soon as this Rashi, so Rashi here says, what is the mean over here when he concludes over here? Mimol salma, Rashi's interpretation of the end of the pasuk. Mimol salma eder tavshitun. Kineget asher atem goizlim hasalma ulevush teferes umavshitim mi'al kol ha'ovrim aleichem madech. Completely different than the Mitzvah Stavit. Do you know why you are suffering? It's not because I'm an evil God. It's because you are evil people. You're so evil, you're willing to rip off the shirt of someone's back on the road and let them lie there naked. It's keneged, it's because, mul, mimul, basically it's nida keneged nida. I am punishing you, mimul, because of your sins. What are your sins? Asheratem goizlim hasalma ulevush teferes. You steal other people's clothing. Umavshitim. You expose them naked. Me'al kol ha'ovrim aleichem baderech. Even on an innocent person walking in the street. It's not beneath you to go over to a person on the street in midday, hold them up and tell them, take off your clothing. I want your clothing. I'm going to sell them on eBay. What? Okay, it's not beneath you. Now the truth is, what is Rashi really coming and hinting to? Yosef. Okay, is this not Mechiras Yosef? It's the same word, the same terminology of Mechiras Yosef. What did Yosef wore the most choshev garment, the kesoines pasim, and the pasuk says vayavshitu oisoi. As kutanto, they took off his tunic. They stripped him naked. And then what happened? There's a famous medrash. This is only found in the medrash Asar HaRugi Malchus. And the Asar HaRugi Malchus that connects the Asar HaRugi Malchus to Mechiras Yosef, it says there they stripped him naked. They threw him into a pit. But Yosef had a kameya. Whatever he had on his neck, an amulet that who knows who wrote to him, and this amulet, I don't know, he says something, I don't remember what it says exactly, it miraculously expanded and covered his body. It miraculously spread and covered his nakedness, that he should not be embarrassed and exposed naked in the streets. They didn't know that. Because when they threw him into the pit, he was naked. He was bare naked. They threw him into the pit, the snakes and scorpions, and miraculously this thing expanded, and now his body was covered. Then they sat down to eat. And then along came the Yishma'elim, the Midyanim, they sold him a couple of times, whatever the story there was, and they negotiated, how much they're going to sell him for, and then it was a done deal, and they took him out of the pit, and they get, and the Midianim themselves picked him out, whoever it was, the Yishmael, the Midianim, they killed. And as he was being taken away, the brothers noticed, wait a minute, where did he get those clothing? They saw that he was dressed in this beautiful garment. What's going on here? We stripped him naked. We took the Kesoinis Pasim. We ripped it off him. That was the whole Sinaskin that the father made from Kesoinis Pasim. They dipped it into the blood to prepare for their father. Where did he all of a sudden get this beautiful garment? How did that happen? So the brothers said to the Yishmaelim or the Minyanim, wait a minute, where did he get that garment? We didn't give him that garment. We don't even know how he got that garment. But you can't go. You have to pay for it. If we're selling him as a slave, we didn't include that. We don't even know how he got that garment. But if you want that garment, you're going to have to pay for it. And they started fighting. I don't remember the exact. They had a very big fight. And the end was they paid more. The end was that the Jews always win at the end.
Okay?
They know they knew how to renegotiate. And they made them. They made them pay more for that garment. And that garment appeared, the Medrash Sardegi Malchus goes further to say that garment was very special. It was in that garment he stood before Paro. It was like special Bignei Malchus. And when he was the leader of Egypt, he wore that garment. That garment became part of his persona. That special garment that expanded from the Kamea when he was in... That's what it says. Yeah, it was the kameya expanded and covered his body, and the oisa malbush, a very beautiful expression that includes the medish. With that malbush, he stood. He was taken to Apotifa. With that malbush, he stood before Paro. And with that malbush, he ruled over Egypt. Something like that. Some expression. So you'll say it doesn't necessarily mean that garment means in that frame of mind. You know, obviously this is subject to. It's subject to drush of what it means exactly, that idea. But it's interesting is that the Musar is the brothers try to humiliate him by taking away his clothing. His clothing. Vayavshitu, it all started with clothing. Vayavshitu oisai esku tonto. And yet, he prevailed. He got back.
In front of him, the Shvat didn't see that God.
No, it says they did see because they had a fight with the buyers. They wanted more money.
When they came back, when he
smelled
it, they should have seen the
garment. They just says they didn't behave lo hikiru. Rashi says because of the zokon. And now they are chasima zokon. Oh, listen, all of this is very bizarre. Okay, obviously, the whole story, you know, needs a lot of understanding. But they tried to humiliate him by taking away his clothing, and yet Yosef prevailed. He ended up wearing clothing. You cannot deny the fact that Rashi over here is saying this idea of Kineged Asher Atem Goizlim Hasalma Ulevush Teferes Mavshitim Me'al Kol Oivrim Alechem Baderech. That's why you're going to the Sunshav of the Rashi. Rashi concludes Me'oivrim Betach Shuvei Milchama Mima Shahayu Sevudim Liyos Oivrim Betach. You, the Jewish people, thought that you're going to be Betach. You have been defeated. According to Rashi, it's just the opposite, diametric opposite of the Mitzvah Stavim. We're describing over here the defeat of the Jewish people. You thought you would be victorious. You thought you would be able to go out. Betach! Go out into the world in a state of security. And now you've been defeated. You come back naked. K'mos Surya Gefen. Nuge mimoyed, the word shuve means shuve milchama. You are been defeated, you're turning back. Suri gevna nochriya, go away, you've been defeated. So we read the entire pasuk according to Rashi. The pasuk basically means via small. The punishment that is coming upon you, Rashi learns, loshem mul. The punishment that is coming upon you, you don't understand. You don't understand that it's for your benefit. Or you don't understand that it's because you deserve it. The punishment that's coming upon you, you use as an excuse to claim, I mean, my nation, they use what's opposite them, the punishment, to claim, le'oyev yikoymeim, to claim that Hashem is our enemy. And what is the MS? The MS is Hashem is your best friend. And the reason why you're suffering, the reason why there is as small, there is something that is coming as small. Is that what you're, Kavan, you're trying to say? As small. It's like a composite of two words. S, this, that is small. S means this, that is opposite you, meaning this suffering that is upon you. You want to know why you will be suffering? I'll tell you why you're suffering. It's mimol. It's mida keneged mida. It is zelu mazeh. What did you do in your lifetime? You did terrible averos. Salma eder tavshito me'ovrim. Me'ovrim. Period. According to Rashi, Rashi seems to break up the word me'ovrim, right? Even though it's a munach, it's a munach zokef katon. You're not supposed to break it up. But that's not the way Rashi, that's not how Rashi, eder tavshitun. Okay, let's put the period over there. Let's put a period. Salma, no, it is. Salma, eder tavshitun, period. It's mida kenegin mida, because you are so cruel, you strip naked your innocent bystanders. Innocent people. And therefore, what's going to be your punishment? From a nation that was passing through the world, passing through the land in a state of security, now you will be defeated. You will be the shuvei milchama. You will suffer. So at least we learned today over here a couple of translations of the word v'esmol, two translations of the word lo'oyev yikoymeim, and we learned over here the mida keneged mida, and the two and there are two words. We really focus on this. The word eder, salmo, eder tavshitun. Two, aderes, a cloak, a chosh of a cloak. Two different words for cloaks. The Jewish people, they are robbers of the outer cloak and the inner cloak. There's a lot of musr there. You can steal someone's property, lechitzonius. You steal someone's property. And you can steal their dignity, their frame of mind. Abuse, what's all abuse all about today? You take away a person's, you've stolen their mind. You've stolen their dignity, their shame. What? Shame. You shame them. You take away a person's dignity. There's the outer garment and the inner garment. The salma and the eder. You've stolen from innocent people. And therefore, that is why you're suffering. You're going to go from a matzav of me'ovrim betach shuvei milchama. It's very rich with interpretation and understanding. Okay, tomorrow.
Yesterday, I didn't announce it was the your side of the explosion of Gush Katif. It was the your side of Baram Rottenberg, who was in jail at that time, and of Rabbi Yaakov Kuli, the